Well, good morning. It is a rich blessing to be gathered here this morning and to be together in the house of the Lord. And thank you all for praying for me, but also for the youth. I know that things turned out a little different, but I believe that your prayers were not in vain just because the youth are not sharing. But you can continue to pray into that, that God would give us vision. For the youth service, we'll probably be having one sometime later this year. But yeah, so I am here this morning, and I plan to share with you all. My thoughts feel a little bit scattered, but I pray that God would have His way, and that through sharing His Word, life would come out of that. A few thoughts I want to share. I'm going to share on faith this morning and just some things God has been ministering to me. And wanted to share them with you and just a little bit of a testimony. In my journey a number of years back when I gave my life to the Lord. Before we get into that, I would like to just pray. Yeah, commit our time to God. I thank you this morning for your word. And that your word gives life. And I thank you for each person this morning in this room, God. You have created each one of us in your image. Each one of us are precious to you, and you love us with a love that is beyond our comprehension. But I pray this morning, God, that you would minister your love to us in a greater way, that you would minister your purposes to each one of us this morning in a greater way, and that out of that we could walk in a greater place of victory, in a greater place of obedience to you, God. And that we would be able to see this morning who we really are in your image and who you've created us to be. We thank you this morning that you do love us, that you care for us, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You reign as our King, as our Savior, as our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. As I was thinking of what to share today, there's a few thoughts that went through my mind, and I plan to share on faith and what is faith, and I want us to think about this. When we think of faith, what do we think of? What is faith? Is it action? Is it a mindset or a thought? Is it an emotion? What is faith? And also, what is the opposite of faith? If we're not having faith, what is manifesting? But before we get into that, I do want you to think of that because I'm going to ask you, and I'm expecting a response on what faith is and what is the opposite of faith. But I have a little story to share, and this goes back to probably 10 years ago. So I'm 28. I would have been 18 at the time. And I was single, and I was Amish. And the situation where, like, my eyes were open to the truth and I gave my life to the Lord was a little bit interesting. I've shared my testimony before, and most of you know kind of some of my journey. But through a coworker that ministered Christ to me, I came to believe and have faith in Christ. But I didn't really have anybody to disciple me. But I was very, very hungry for truth and hungry for the Word. But there was nobody there to walk beside me except this coworker. But he shared Christ with me, and what he believed about Christ was true, but that was about it. I mean, he was a very radical person. There's no point in going into detail, but where he's at now and where I'm at are completely different places. I don't even know if he's a believer anymore. I assume that he is. He doesn't live in the area anymore. But so it was a little hard for me to go to him and ask him questions, although he did answer my questions. And shortly thereafter, I then got a new job and didn't work with him. So I was kind of stuck. I didn't have anybody that was willing to disciple me and to answer my questions. So I went to YouTube. So I was basically a YouTube disciple, you could say, I guess. And I listened to a lot of stuff on YouTube. And I would also listen to 94.5 in the evening. I would come home and shower and go to bed early. But I would be up half the night and listening to stuff on 94.5 every evening. They would have, like, there would be a sermon or something, and I was super inspired by this stuff. So there's good things that came out of that. There was also negative things because as an innocent young believer, you don't really realize that the things that you listen to on YouTube or maybe even 94.5 weren't always solid. So you kind of just swallow everything like hook, line, and sinker. But anyway, to say that, I would listen to 94.5 every evening, and I was very inspired. And there was things that were shared that were very impactful. And the one story, there was this lady that was being interviewed by Focus on the Family, and she shared some things that were very impactful to where I was at. The way that I grew up in the Amish system was like, you're not really taught to have faith, and that's what I want to touch on this morning. You're handed to you. You're taught how you should live. You're told how you should do everything, from church to the way you dress to yourself. Everything is like spelled out in how you're supposed to live your life. So like, I think it's probably safe to say that you don't really need much faith. You just kind of live life according to how you're told to and how you're taught. And there's not much effort put on like a relationship with God. So through that, I became born again, and I knew very little about faith, and I knew very little about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was a very new concept to me because I was never taught that you should allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and give you direction, and it was just a foreign thing to me. So those were two things that were very new. But this story that this lady shared, she had lost her husband, and she was sharing this story of what happened. And her husband was like, he was a professional diver or something, and she would go out with him to the ocean. He would dive, and he wasn't like a scuba diver. He would basically dive down holding his breath for a couple minutes and just explore the floor of the sea to find things and then come back up again. And so she was with him, and he would usually go down for about and then come back up. So she kind of knew what to expect. And anyway, he went down, and like 3 minutes went by, and he didn't come back up. She's wondering, you know, what's going on. Like, this is unusual. Something's wrong. But anyway, long story short, through that, she ended up calling the Coast Guard. They investigated. Something had happened, and he ended up drowning and passing away. But as she was sharing her testimony, she said something that really ministered to me. And in the midst of that, she said that a challenge because the enemy was trying to get her to fear and to get her to just be terrified about what might have happened to her husband. At this point, she didn't know yet. And I was amazed at that. I thought, well, you know, your first reaction to something like that would be that you would be terrified and that you would be fearful. And it was a new concept to me that in the midst of a difficult situation, a very challenging situation, you can have faith and trust that God is there with you and His hand is in this and that you don't need to fear. I think naturally we would fear in a situation like that, but I was really inspired that she actually said, like, she recognized that the enemy wanted her, but she needed to trust God in that situation. So I want to touch on that, on what is faith. Does anybody have thoughts? When you think of faith, what comes to your mind? What is faith? That's true. Any other thoughts? Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Faith comes by hearing.
What else does that verse say, Sim? And hearing by the word of God. Yeah, those are all accurate answers. Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I think it's true that God also imparts faith to us according to a situation. There might be like certain situations that people go through that look impossible, and you wonder how they can have faith in such a time. But I think that there are situations that God gives us the faith to believe Him during a very challenging time. I'm just going to read a little bit out of Hebrews 11. Starting in verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." He says, we believe by faith that God created the world. We could say there is evidence for that, but it's hard to explain how God created the world without going back into Scripture and believing and having faith that what's written in Genesis is true. And people that don't believe that, or you could say like an atheist, it takes faith to be an atheist too. You know, to believe that the world was created with a big bang, that takes a lot of faith. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness." "God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And this verse 6 is very profound. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And I think verse 6 is about as clear as it gets. And that's sobering to think that without faith, there is no way that you can please God. It's impossible. And he who comes to God, you must believe that he is. We have not physically seen God, therefore it takes faith to believe in God. And if we don't have faith, then it's impossible to please him. What are thoughts on the opposite of faith? If you think of what occurs when there's a lack of faith or when there's no faith, what kind of things or emotions do we experience? Mm-hmm. Unbelief?
Anxiety?
Pride?
Pride.
I'm sorry?
Impossible to please God?
Confusion?
Disobedience?
Disagree with God?
Fear.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. If we don't have faith, we tend to be anxious and fearful, and we tend to disobey. And if we don't have faith, all of the wrong things happen, right? Next, I'd like to turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 25, starting in verse 25, reading to the end. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life." We could put fear in there. "Do not fear, do not worry. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, add to his stature? So why do you worry about it? Consider the lilies of the field that neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles... Am I doing something wrong, David, that this thing keeps dropping out? Verse 32, for after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Very interesting what Jesus is saying there. He continues to say, do not worry, do not fear, take no thought for tomorrow. And he says, that's what the Gentiles do. They worry about tomorrow. They worry about what's going to happen this fall and next year and the next 5 years, and things look uncertain. They worry about those things. But Jesus tells us, we don't need to worry. We don't even need to worry about what we're going to eat tomorrow or next year or in 10 years, whether or not we're going to be starving or where we're going to be at or what's going to be happening in the U.S. in the next 30 years. We don't have to worry about it. Sure, we can think about it and discuss those things and what we would do in a dire situation, but it's just very simple the way he lays it out, and I'm blessed by that. And he continues to say, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. I mean, what value can you add to yourself by worrying? Nothing. Another thought I had is when you've removed faith from a situation, you naturally worry and fear. And when you remove faith from a hardship that God is putting you through, you're not going to see his glory revealed through that. And I think many of us can relate to that. We all face different areas of hardship and challenges, and we can't really compare one person's hardship to the next because our challenges are all different, and they all come in different forms. But if you remove faith from that situation, then it looks hopeless, and you fear and you worry, and there's devastation. But I do believe that faith and something like grief or mourning a loss of something can coexist. I don't think that you should try to just be overly joyful about like something in a grievous time. It's okay to grieve a loss for something and yet at the same time have faith in what God wants to do. The testimony of that is with what my brother and his wife went through with the loss of their baby. And I saw faith in them. It was very hard for them. It was a time of grieving. But without faith in a situation like that, it would have just felt like complete loss, complete devastation. You would have felt angry at God. But through that, they have faith, and they're praying that the gospel would go forth because of this. And I believe the gospel is going forth, and God's kingdom is being advanced through a difficult situation because of their faith. Next, I'd like to turn to Luke 8. Luke 8, verse 22.
Now it happened on a certain day that he, Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake," and they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying one to another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." And there Jesus just simply said, "Where is your faith?" They were terrified in a sketchy situation. And Jesus calmed the winds and the seas, and he's like, "Where's your faith?" And I don't want to harp on the disciples for not having faith. I think it was probably challenging to be in that situation. And yeah, it would have been interesting for sure. But it's kind of interesting how like they're in this situation and Jesus kind of rebukes them for not having faith. And then they come, like, they encounter just kind of one scary thing after the next. They come over to the other side and there's this demon-possessed man, and they're, I can only imagine what they were thinking. But yeah, very, very interesting and inspiring to see Jesus' ministry. I also want to talk about what Jesus says about giving thanks, and this was specifically be Paul in this situation. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, let me just turn there real quick. It's a familiar scripture. He says, "In everything give thanks." And as humans, sometimes when we're facing a situation, like, you would think God's call to us would be like, okay, you're facing something very difficult, and God would just tell us, you know, "Don't be afraid, trust in me." But he goes even further and he says, "In everything give thanks." If you're facing a difficult situation, he commands us to be thankful and to give thanks. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always. Always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." That's a good admonition. Abstain from every form of evil. Matthew 9 is another situation where Jesus talks about having faith. Matthew 9:27. "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' And he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.' And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, 'See that no one knows it.' But when they had departed, they spread out the news about him in all that country." So there again, Jesus, he just simply said, "According to your faith, let it be unto you." They had faith that Jesus could heal them. And I was thinking of how our prayers affect other people, and even people that we've never met and never will meet. If we pray in faith, God can move. And it's a beautiful thing to picture. If you picture us praying for specifically like the persecuted church, and we pray, and I think sometimes it's easy to just say a prayer and to just kind of do the ritual and pray and move on. But if we pray in faith, God will move on their behalf. And that's an amazing thing to think of. Someday in eternity, they can tell us of how God answered the prayers that we offered up to him on their behalf. And these are people that we don't even know right now. We'll probably never meet some of them. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and also the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There again, he is just encouraging us to rejoice and to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. I'd like to end with a passage out of Habakkuk 3. This is also probably a somewhat familiar passage, or we're probably maybe more familiar with the song that sings of this. Yeah, I'm struggling to find it. Chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fill, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my deer like deer's feet, and will make me walk on my high hills. And there again, he's just saying, yet there's nothing there. Like, my occupation fell apart. There's no food. The fields aren't yielding. Like, everything's just not working out or going my way. And he doesn't say, don't fear, but trust. He says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm just encouraged by that. And I pray that you likewise are encouraged by the word of God this morning.